You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Well, welcome back, everyone. It is good to be back doing our radio show. We have been on hiatus for a little bit, and now we're back for another long 14-week stretch. And it's going to be awesome. You know, we talk about everything Punch TV, but it's a Punch TV world. Many of you already know that we're doing our IPO, and it's just been absolutely phenomenal. I can say unequivocally, I thank everyone for your support, and I thank everyone for being a part of the Punch TV Studios movement and part of the Punch TV Studios company. So it's been pretty awesome there. And let me see, as always, I think we have our lovely and incredible co-host, none other than Sharifa. Are you with me this morning?
Good morning, Mr. Collins. How are you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous. I'm in the penthouse here, and I'm looking over this beautiful city, and I am enjoying every bit of it. It's nothing like being in the penthouse. I'm trying to tell you, it's awesome. I think I have the most awesome room I've ever had and traveling across the country. And so it's been pretty cool. And I'm enjoying life and loving everything that we're doing at Punch TV Studios, which has been pretty amazing, to say the least. We have thousands of shareholders now, and we're getting ready to launch IPO 2.0, and I am super-duper excited. Let's talk about some things that we have done. How about that? We recently shot two movies, which we have in post. A few weeks ago, we did The Underdogs of Comedy, which is the first show that I've directed in 3 years. And I'm going to tell you, that was an experience. What did you think about that show, Sharifa?
I think that it was amazing to be able to see some of the underdogs and see some of the funniest comedians around and to turn it into a show. I definitely think that's amazing.
It's going to be, it is absolutely, absolutely amazing. Which comedian out of the underdogs did you like the best?
No, I can't. I don't really want to.
So you can say
they
whichever
are
one you want. They're not listening right now. So you could just go ahead and tell which one did you like the best out of the comedians?
I loved all the comedians, but out of hands down, everyone there tonight, it was definitely Speedy. I'm a huge Speedy fan, and Speedy just had me rolling in my seat.
Yeah, Speedy, he did a phenomenal job. Excellent job hosting the show, and I got to give major props to comedian Speedy. And guess what we're getting ready to do with that show now? We're getting ready to turn that show into a daily show on the Punch TV network. So we just did the special, which we're going to license to hopefully someone like HBO or something to that effect, or one of the movie platforms, or sell a million DVDs or downloads or whatever they do these days. But we're going to be doing that with this special that we did the other night. But we're going to take this show now, and at the Punch TV Studios, we have our own studio. Can I get a whoop whoop? We have our own studio. There we go. Our own studios. We have our own television studios, which we are building out right now and preparing to go to work and preparing to shoot some shows. And it's just really, really awesome. It is beyond awesome. It's just something special to see. And one of the first shows that we're going to do in our studios is The Underdogs of Comedy. Sharifa, tell me what you think about that. Come on now. You got some words on it.
No, I think it's amazing.
So,
honestly, I think it's amazing to be in production. I mean, because this is what we've been waiting for years, to be able to produce all of these amazing shows and show ideas that we've had for years.
Yeah, no, I know. To be able to pull your ideas out of the hat and be able to say, let's do this one, and then to actually be able to go out and do it is so incredible. Until you just won't believe it. It just makes my toes turn up. It makes my toenails go, ooh.
So what made you decide to do the Underdogs of Comedy TV show?
I think there's so many comedians out there who need to be seen. They need a voice. There's no show right now where if you're an upcoming comedian, you could come on that show and be seen and really have a place to showcase your material. And I think that that's just really, really cool. And you know what? I wanted to make that happen for upcoming comedians, and it's just important to me. People need a chance. You need a platform. You need a voice. And the Underdogs of Comedy is definitely going to be one of those voices for comedians to really get known and be on television and get seen. Hopefully that'll help them get some work and continue to do it some more. And so that's what really inspired me to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, with our can-do attitude, it even helps it even more. So I hear that you guys have been out working, trying to pull in celebrity guests for this. How are we doing with that?
We're working. We're going to have some amazing guests on this show. So we need to let our guests know and our listeners. We definitely have callers on the line. So if you have a question for our host or just like to comment, I mean, because we've been off the air for some time. So if you have a comment that you like to make or a question for our CEO, Punch TV Studios, CEO Joseph Collins, please press 1. We love to hear from you. So we're working on, we have some amazing guests lined up.
Nice. I am so excited. I am really, we've been really making it happen. You know, I'd love to take a call. If we have a call, I'd love to jump into a call. So just let me know when that happens.
Absolutely.
Somebody pushes in, and I'd love to take a call. And I'm happy at what we're doing here at Punch. I'm really excited about it. I'm really happy that we are gearing up right now for the first annual Punch TV Studio shareholders meeting. And that is going to be absolutely incredible. And I'm going to see if we can't pull some rabbits out of our hats to really begin to make this the most incredible shareholders meeting. And if those who are part owners of our companies and those who are shareholders in our company, if you've never been to a shareholders meeting, you need to become a stockholder in Punch TV Studios so that you could become a shareholder in our company. And that's totally and completely amazing.
So, Mr. Collins, I know we're getting ready to go into Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, but we have so many listeners and callers on the line who maybe want a little bit more information or clarification on what is the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0.
IPO 2.0, boy, we're getting ready for it. When we initially did our IPO, we really just targeted specifically the urban community with our IPO. And we said to the urban community, hey, for $1 a share, you could become a part owner of Punch TV Studios. And that's pretty much what we did. Okay. And so now with IPO 2.0, we're opening the door for nonprofit organizations, for businesses, and for corporations, and for churches, and also for all individuals to become a part owner of Punch TV Studios with the stock that we have left. And that's what this is. That's what IPO 2.0 is about. We're going to take it to a whole nother level, and you get to be on this grind with us. You get to be a part of this. You get to be a part of a media company that we believe is going to change the way media is done in America and around the world. And you get to be a part of a company that I believe every day when we get up, every day, that we're going to generate $1.4 billion in revenue by year four after the IPO closes in its entirety. And we're going to be on track to make that happen. And we just have some amazing things going on, and you get to be a part of IPO 2.0, and you get to be a part of Punch TV Studios. So to those that are interested, visit our website at punchtvstudios.com, and you can find more information about the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0. You could become a stockholder in our company. You could be become a part owner of Punch TV Studios, and together we can change the world. And that's what makes this so exciting and so interesting. And it's been a great weekend for us, and it's been a super great weekend for us. And just some amazing things are happening that we're going to start making a really big, major announcement come Thursday. That's going to be just off the chain, off the
chain. Wow. That is definitely amazing. So 2.0, we're taking it to the next level. Everything that we've done in IPO plus more. We are definitely changing media, changing television, but you know, we also have to pay homage to the entertainers and actors and actresses who came before us and opened so many doors for us. When I think of someone who has opened the door, I definitely think of Ms. Ella Joyce. Ella Joyce is best known and beloved for her television role of Eleanor on TV's family sitcom Rock, which earned her an NAACP nomination. Her TV guest star appearances include the reoccurring role of Jasmine on My Wife and Kids, the Jamie Foxx show, Seinfeld, and co-starred in Bells on TV One. So Miss Ella Joyce is definitely someone who has the pulse on entertainment. How are you doing this morning, Miss Joyce?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm doing real good today. You know, today's my birthday, so.
Happy birthday.
You know, of all the things you could do on your birthday, this certainly has to be at the top of the list. This is in the top 10. You get to be on the Punch TV Studios radio network on your birthday. And how old did you turn today? 25, 26? How old are you?
Might have to turn the number around a little bit. But this is an exciting day for me. This is real fun to be doing on my birthday with your exciting network. It's very exciting that you've got this network for us.
Yes, well, we have worked really hard, and you have actually been a supporter. You come to the Punch TV Studios events.
It was really exciting, and I'm so happy to see how you're growing.
That's the most important thing. Let me ask you this question. People think being in the entertainment business is really easy. Just give some breath of what it's really like. You know, what is it really like? Because you've been there.
What showbiz is like?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that clearly.
Yeah, what show business is like, you know, give some breath, just so people that are listening, because people think it's kind of easy to be in show business. It's like, oh, I'm just going to do this, I'm going to be this mega thing, and I'm going to do this and this and this. They don't think that, you know, and then tomorrow I'm going to be Ella Joyce, you know, that's how people think, you know. But give some breath, give in a brief overview, what is the journey like? What is that journey like, and what has it been like for you?
Well, you know, everyone is different. It's different for everyone, and, you know, I would never want to discourage people from the business. We need as many people, especially our people in the business, that we can get, you know, who have vision and steadfastness, you know, that really want to move along in the business. But what I do try to tell a lot of people entering the business, especially those that I may mentor, is to just be realistic. That's all. Don't come into the business with, you know, stars and dust in your eyes. Really come into it with your eyes open, knowing that it's hard work. And it's work that you really never stop working at your entire career. You know, they always tell you you're about as good as the last thing you did, you know. And that's really true in many ways, especially in the celluloid industry, because, you know, people remember what they last saw you on. And so you really have to have a goal and realistic vision in the business. I would tell people to train as well as they can, you know, learn what they can about the business and the craft, because they're both one in one. You know, you have to learn your craft, but you also have to learn something about the business of the craft. Mm-hmm. And I tell a lot of people, you know, as they get older and if they, you know, have some success in the business, you have a responsibility to reach back and help your people. You know, there are too many of our people that make it ahead and they don't look back. And we need more of our people looking back, wanting to help others so that we do have networks and studios and distribution companies and all the things that we need to flourish in an industry that sort of, you know, keeps us on the outside in so many ways.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we have to come into the business with the idea that we have to do more than just maybe perhaps be the talent. You have to sometimes be the talent behind the camera, the talent in front of the camera. So, you know, over the years, there have been times when I've produced my own show. You know, I did my own one-woman show on Rosa Parks and went out. My husband directed it, and we went out on the road for about 5 years, going to different cities and different entities to perform. There was a need for people to have the story straight about Rosa Parks. And so that is what sort of inspired me to write and to produce it myself, not wait for somebody to give me permission to do it. That's what I try to into a lot of people. You know, take control of the industry and your career yourself. And if you do that, then you'll be a lot happier, and you'll be ready when the opportunities do come your way, because you're not just sitting by the phone waiting for it to ring, you know.
That is so true. You have to create your – you have to – sometimes you just got to get out there and create your own opportunities.
You really do.
Even with
– Hello?
Many people with Punch – have also seen the same thing. They've seen the struggle. They've seen the ups. They've seen the downs. They've seen the horrible things that people say. But what they haven't seen that it really takes a lot of commitment and personal sacrifice to pull something off. And just to say, to hell with it, I'm going to make it happen. And then go make it happen. And I was telling a friend of mine, exactly. I was telling a friend of mine, look, it doesn't matter what kind of movie you make. Well, I'm not talking about porn or anything like that, but let's just make a movie. It doesn't have to be a best movie. It ain't got to be the best everything and whatever. But if you make a movie and you live that process, it's just so interesting how so much you learn so much and you get better at it and you do it over and over again. But at least you're doing something. You're not just waiting on somebody to push the button for you. And that's one of the things that we didn't want to do with Punch, is not wait for somebody to push the button for us.
Right.
I want to be there when they're making the button.
Be one of the people making the button. That's
I,
right.
I
want to
be one
exactly
of the people
right.
making the button. You know, I want to be in the factory when the button is being designed. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I tell a lot of people, too, you know, as they get older, remember the people that opened up doors for you.
That's
and that's
correct.
Another issue, especially, you know, just among our own people. You know, if there were people that made the sacrifices along the way, you know, and they opened up doors for you because they may have suffered the slings and arrows of, you know, all the racism and all the struggles in the business and all the things like that, then when you get in a place, you know, remember and reach back and help them. You know, reach back and open up the doors for others and remember those that opened up the doors for you. You know, as our people get older, they, you know, the actors, the directors, all of those people, the designers, they should be able to depend on those young people coming into the business to keep them afloat, you know, to respect the fact that they've opened up the doors for them in many ways. And that's how we take care of one another. You know,
that's
and,
right.
And I see 100%. that is an issue that we need to address more, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree with you because you have so many people who have amazing talent, you know, that could bring a lot to a project and bring a lot to a subject and bring breadth and gravity to a subject. And people, they want to be busy. They want to be active. And we just
I mean,
need
if you look at a show, for instance, like Golden Girls, you know, that was a whole producer and network system looking out for those aging actresses, making sure they had their medical insurance, making sure that they were, you know, back on the networks again. Because at one time, you know, they weren't hiring people hardly past a certain age. You know, so then you got the ageism thing going on, too. And so as I look at, you know, the networks today, I say, well, where's our golden girl? You know, we got actresses, black actresses that are getting older that are looking good and taking care of themselves. And I'm like, well, where are they? Where are we? Where are we? How come you don't see us more? You know, and that's inspiring whenever you see people that have sustained their life in this business, and you know they're taking care of themselves and they're looking good. That's inspiration for the young folks. You know, this is what you got to look forward to. I know one of my mentors, when she was alive, was Ruby Dee. I had
I love Ruby Dee.
You know, who didn't? You know, and I had the privilege of doing a play, Checkmates, with her by Ron Milne. Mm-hmm. Woody King directed it, and we were over at the Bermuda Arts Festival in Bermuda. And it was just one of the high point experiences of my life to work with someone of her caliber and to get like a master acting class on stage with her every night. I mean, there were times I'd get caught up in just wanting to watch her. She was mesmerizing.
Wow.
You know, and she used to give me little tidbits of advice here and there, and you end up holding on to those little pearls of wisdom because you know someone that got to be her age has seen so much in this business.
Much.
And she would share those things with me. And I was just, you know, just happy with the fact that, you know, at her age, she was still acting. She was still vibrant, you know. And it was like the industry, you know, they just don't know what to do with all that wonderfulness that be coming from black women sometimes. They just, they just don't know what to do with all of that.
No, but speaking of
that.
Speaking of the black woman, one of my questions I definitely wanted to ask today, Ms. Joyce, is Rock changed television? Before Rock, there wasn't an African-American family on television. What was that like for you?
Yeah, well, we were one of the early black families on a major network because there already was established, you know, the Cosby Show. They were on
the
NBC.
Cosby, that's right, that's right.
And Different World, you know, they were the spinoff from that show. We were the first black family show at Fox Network, even though they had already done In Living Color. But that was more of a variety type show. We were a family sitcom. So we were the first black family sitcom at Fox Network. And it's kind of interesting now because you wouldn't even know that. I mean, they're not showing us in reruns on the network that we came from, which is Fox.
Right.
And they should be. You know, we were a very popular, not just black American show, but an American show at a time when you're very right. You did not see us hardly on the networks at all, and you certainly didn't see us on. Matter of fact, we were part of the reason Fox became a major network because they weren't even a major network yet. You know, like what they call, I think, an FCC licensed network. They weren't quite there yet, so we were part of the reason why they were able to get to that point, and it's really wonderful that even today, thank God that Bounce Network was, you know, showing us in reruns there for a little while and people were able to see the show with their kids. We literally acquired a whole new generation of young people who love the show. I had people coming up to me even recently talking about, I watched you this morning on Bounce and I just love that show. Why did they take that show off the air? It was so wonderful. And it's just crazy. You know, every time black people get something they really like, it's like it get taken away from them, don't it? You got to laugh at the madness of it sometimes, you know.
A lot of times we don't have the power.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't been granted the power.
Yes.
To a lot of people think that a lot of shows when they come out, and I'll give you this from Brandon Tartikoff over at NBC. He's gone now, but. And you take a show like Cheers, for instance. When Cheers came out, it was not a hit show. It did not. People did not watch Cheers. But Brandon Tartikoff gave the show time to develop.
Yeah.
He gave it the time. It took 3 years, 2 or 3 years before Cheers became hit. And even then, it only became a hit because it followed the Cosbys or something like that.
Yeah. Well, now, the show that became syndicated at the network with us was Martin. They became syndicated. They were able to deal with that show longer than they, I guess, felt that they could deal with us. And so we got cut short.
Well, you guys were going
on
live
for 7 years.
If you would have just kept taping, y'all would have been fine. But y'all started going live.
Yeah, we went live, you know, that second season. Well, the history of it is the first season was really beautiful because we were on film. We weren't even on tape. We were on film. And that film, if you look at that first season of the episodes, that's why it looks so beautiful, because it was actually shot on 35 film. And even though they used three cameras, they were shooting it on film, and it just looked beautiful. Then the second season, we went live, which was very exciting, and it hadn't been done in so many years, and actually was almost like the precursor to reality TV in a way.
But we were still scripted.
You know, we weren't going on unscripted. We were still scripted.
So is reality TV. It's really scripted.
Yeah. And then the third season, because I think they realized with the second season being live that they no longer had post-production, which means you can't control the content. It's actually going over the air live. And I think they wanted to go back to being able to control the content. So the third season, we went back to taped in front of a live audience. Now, we were always in front of a live audience, even the first season on film. But the third season, they went to tape in front of a live audience. And so that way they were able to go into post if there's anything they needed to change or edit or whatever they needed to do. But that second season, we were as live as if, you know, it was the Super Bowl. You know?
Exactly.
If you fumble the ball, everybody go see it. You know? And it was pretty exciting, you know, like they were experimenting with things. But I think in the very end, you know, there were a lot of problems between a person who was Charles Dutton, who was trying to carefully, you know, look over our images and be careful with the material and that kind of thing. And then you're dealing with networks that are saying, we're tired of y'all being so sensitive about your images, and we just want a silly sitcom, and we don't want all this dramedy stuff you bringing in here, and so we're going to let y'all show go, and we're going to go with the show that, you know, is more palatable for us. And I think that's really what happened. And so we got cut short and did not make that syndication. But it was an exciting time to have that show, and I'm always proud that it holds up today, that I got people who just hate television who come up to me telling me, yeah, that's the only show I watch. And I kind of like that, you know, that there are black folks today that still love that show, you know. And not just black folks. I mean, we really reached across, you know, culturally. I have a lot of fans from that show. I have Latinas that come up to me and tell me how much they love it, white folks that have seen it. But, wow, I used to love that show. It was good. The writing was good. And that's the thing, too. People are always looking for that good writing. And we had great writing staffs. We really did, even from the first season. We always had good writers on the show. And that always makes a difference, too, when you've got, you know, quality from top to the bottom.
It definitely makes a difference.
Right.
Definitely makes a difference. So
we gave
just
an opportunity to a lot of people that were just starting out, too. And that's kind of sad when you realize that that could be not available as it used to be. When people, you know, are graduating out of college and they're looking to get their first jobs in the industry, we had a lot of people that were becoming behind the scenes for the first time, getting a chance to design maybe, you know, costumes, wardrobe, lights, all of that kind of thing. Production assistants, gaffers, grips, everybody had a chance to work their craft so that they could move in the business. And what happens is when they take all of these wonderful black shows, black family shows off the major networks, you're really cutting down opportunities for fledgling artists and crewmen coming up in the business. Now you've cut away opportunities for them because they've got to try to get a job among the all-white shows, and, you know, they're not breaking their necks to hire us, you know. So we were actually giving opportunities for people starting out. We were giving them springboards to go on, you know, people are being discovered. And that's gone now, you know.
Well, that's definitely what we love to do here at Punch TV Studios, to create opportunities for actors, filmmakers, directors, people in the industry. So if you are just now tuning in to Punch TV Studios radio show, Changing the Conversation, we have a very special guest today, Ella Joyce. You definitely want to tweet this show, post it on your Facebook, let everyone know we are live on the air. If you have a question for Ms. Joyce or for our CEO, Punch TV Studios CEO, Joseph Collins, please give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. We're going to take a brief commercial break, and we're going to be back with the iconic Ella Joyce.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the Filmmakers Group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years. And for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
Seriously?
Yes, sir.
I've been wanting to ask you a question for quite some time. It's been burning in my spirit.
Well, is it burning in your spirit?
It's burning in my spirit. My spirit has been wanting to ask you this question for a mighty long time, Sharifa. It's been months, Sharifa, but my spirit wants to ask you this question.
Nabuki? Yes, sir. I Nabuki all day, every day. That's what I do. I
you
spend
Nabuki
all my time
all day,
on Nabuki. Yes, I do. And I do some work as well. And I do the radio show. But in between, I Nabuki.
That's cool. Nabuki is really blowing up. We got over 1,000 people on Nabuki right now. So we tell everybody that you need to join Nabuki. It's a phenomenal place to be. You just want to be on Nabuki. So visit our website at Nabuki.com, Nabukie.com. That's Nabuki. And also, if you'd like to become a shareholder, a stockholder, a part owner of Punch TV Studios, visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. And we're on here with Ella Joyce, and she is dropping so much knowledge right now. And Ella, it's such a wonderful having you on. And today is her birthday, so that's really cool. So that means that she's a year wiser today than she was yesterday. Yesterday she wasn't quite as wise as she is today. So we know that. So she's been dropping her pearls of wisdom here on the radio show today, and it's amazing. Well, let me ask you a question. If you could change Hollywood, Ella, if you had a genie in the bottle, and you could make three wishes all related to making changes in Hollywood, what would those changes be?
Wow, three wishes, that's a heavy responsibility, you know. Three wishes. Got to start out wishing you get 10 more wishes, number one. Excuse me, I'm just getting over the bout of the flu. But, yeah, a little sick over the holiday, but I'm okay now, on the mend. You know, when you get older, you're glad to see that your immune system is working, you know. but I guess, you know, the first wish, I don't know, that I would have would be for us to have so many thriving networks, not just one or two, but to have an opportunity to have so many studios, so many networks, that so many actors would be sought after for work, that they would just provide so many opportunities. And I guess second of all would be that we begin to look out for those in our culture who are getting older. You know, that's a concern for me, because We're such a youth-oriented society. And when we don't look out, once again, like I say, for those who have opened doors, for those who have been in the business in a while, who can drop pearls of wisdom on you while you're trying to make your way, you know, we have a responsibility to do that. And when you look, you know, at the main culture, that's what they're doing. I mean, look at all of their old, wonderful TV shows that they're showing in reruns right now. You know, all of those people that are in their 70s and 80s are still collecting that money if they're still on this planet. They're still mm-hmm. showing those shows, you know, and we need to be the same way. And I guess the third wish I would have is for, you know, the women specifically to be able to be considered as equals in the industry and to have as many opportunities as possible. You know, we need female writers and directors and designers and, you know, actors, you know, and especially those that are getting older and still looking good. I mean, we got a lot of actors, especially the black actresses, who are breathtakingly beautiful in their older age. Yes. They're still bright and sharp. Well, we need to be seeing them on the screen. We need to be seeing them. You know, you would think most of them died and left the planet already, and they're not. They're still here looking gorgeous. I go to events sometime and see some of these sisters, and I mean they're breathtakingly gorgeous. You know, you're just looking at them, you're like, girl, what's going on with you? Are you going backwards? When are you going to start looking older? You know? And a lot of these sisters ain't went under nobody's knife or anything like that. They just looking good and taking care of themselves. And on that note, if I may just say, you know, I started my own dance exercise class over the last 3 years, specifically designed for older people. I teach all of the dances from the 60s, 70s, and 80s to the black and soul funk music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And it's called Funkasize. You can go to a website and look it up, Funkasize, F-U-N-K-A-C-I-Z-E, Funkasize.com. And I trademarked it. And people are coming. They're enjoying it. First of all, they get to come dance with Eleanor from Rock. So they are loving that. It's giving me a wonderful time to interact with my fans. And then when they come and realize it was another part of my talent that they had never seen, is that's the fact that, you know, I was a dancer. I used to love to dance. You know, I never
I never really pursued
it professionally, but there were plays along the way, you know, when I was coming up in the industry that I danced in, you know. It was a passion of mine, you know. Boys used to stand in line to dance with me when I was at school, what can I say, you know.
So
they, and they still do.
Stand in line. I'm in line.
That's right, to cut a rug with Ella Joyce. They know how you dance, you know. So I done started my own dance class, and we're up in North Hollywood on Friday nights for an hour. It's almost like Zumba, except it's based on black soul and black funk music. And what that does, you know, me being from Detroit, you know, number one soul city, you know, coming up with that wonderful period, Motown and R&B music and all of that, I'm able to archive those dances and teach the music to the young generation coming up. So to my surprise, I created this class for older people. I found out that the young people love it even more. They be coming in to dance with their parents, and we be having a ball because the kids love the titles of the dances that, you know, the camel walk, the boogaloo, the shingaling, the funky Broadway, you know. I had a little girl tell me, she said, "You mean the funky Broadway was really a dance? I thought it was the name of a street." I said, "No, babe, I'm going to teach you how to do the funky Broadway," you know. And then when we're dancing to James Brown, of course, you know, Rick James, all them Gap Band, all that. When they hear the names of the dancers being called out, Oh, I told you I didn't make up these dances. You hear them telling you to do the whip and do the mashed potatoes and do the shingaling. And so I'm teaching it to them. The kids are absolutely loving it.
The funky chicken,
we do them all. And I've aerobicized them, so you really do get a workout, just like you do in Zumba.
Wow.
I'm a certified Zumba instructor. So I've kind of patterned mine, you know, looking the way they did it. So you have an hour, but you're going to need to be wiping yourself down with a towel by the end of that hour. And so I've got people that have been coming on a regular basis, older ladies that say the class means so much to them because they're getting a chance to work out to the music
show
that they love. And
we should turn that
I'm creating
into a TV
new fans.
Show.
I was on there 1 week, and we had some routines to, for instance, Ashford and Simpson. I had one of the young people in the classes. We were getting down and jamming, and I'm giving them a history about the music, you know, where it came from. Y'all, we created this music. And one
that's
of
right.
the young people was in there, who is that? I said, honey, you better ask somebody. That's Ashford and Simpson. Then when I started telling them all the songs that they wrote, from I'm Every Woman to Let's Go Get Stoned, I mean, I'm telling them all the songs that they have written, this kid had to go out and buy the CD. He told me when he came back to the class, he said, yeah, I had to pick up that Ashford and Simpson. Oh, man, it's rocking, because they hadn't been hearing this music. And
mm-hmm.
so they're
mm-hmm.
loving it. And we create routines and that kind of thing. So, and it's fun. And then, you know, whenever I need to go shoot a movie or something, you know, I just put the class on hold for a minute. Like my husband, he's in the class every Friday, so it's men and women that be there. And, you know, he's not there unless, like, this past week.
You mean it's men and women, you know?
Yeah, men and women. Men and women are
men,
in the class. My husband
women.
Is there every
the
week unless he's working. And wait a minute. We dance sock hop style, just like we did the sock hops back in the 60s. So we put on 2-3 pairs of socks, and that way we can, you know, when we do the slop and the bop and we slop it up against the floor and the mashed potatoes. And it's good for your feet, you know, get Arthur
mm-hmm.
out of your feet, arthritis, you know.
mm-hmm.
We chase Arthur away every Friday night. And Arthur, you ain't welcome up in here. So I got everybody moving their toes and their fingers and their ankles, and they're getting healthier while they're
wow.
having fun.
Wow. Can you give us those
we
what, your
turn
website
that into
again?
A TV show.
Yes,
we have
it's
to turn
that funkasize.com. And they can also go to ellajoyce.com. You know, if they forget
oh, wow.
the name of it, they can just go to ellajoyce.com and my Funkasize page is right there. But they can go directly
okay.
to funkasize.com. FUNKACIZE. Z is a zebra. Funkasize. And it's trademarked. It's all mine. That's all my dance technique. I got people getting healthy and looking good and feeling happy as they're getting older, and I'm trying to inspire them. And I guess I'm a natural at it because I was a cheerleader back in high school in Detroit. I went to Cass Tech, and I was voted girl most popular and girl with the most school spirit. So,
oh, wow. Wow.
You know, I still
you
got that spirit now. It's like, come on, y'all. We're going to do the mashed potatoes, you know.
That's right. I have a favorite song, too, a song I like to play.
Ready?
Hello? Oh,
that's one of my
so
favorite
sweet.
Songs. So we
that's my
definitely.
Favorite one, too. Thank you. It's always nice when you've made it another year, baby.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes,
celebrating another year
show.
On the planet.
Can y'all hear me? I keep saying
yes,
we should take
you.
A dance show. You can take your dance show. We should turn that into a TV show. That would be fun.
It would be a lot
you
fun.
You know, that would be a fun TV show to do.
Yeah, you ought to come by on Friday night, Joseph. Come check it out.
I'm
come
have
check
to come
it
out
Friday
it out.
Night, from 8 to 9. It starts exactly at 8, and we're over at 9. Come on by. And who knows, we might create another whole situation. It could be on my Dancing with the Stars. We could have people tuning back in like they used to do Soul Train. And just as a matter of history and understanding, I always make sure people understand, you know, Soul Train was the longest running dance show ever. And you know when American Bandstand first started, we wasn't allowed on there, okay, until...
Yeah, no, you were not.
Right. We weren't there. We weren't present. I mean, we love, you know, with my man Dick Clark, you know,
Dick
and he
Clark and
began
that,
to start bringing us on at one point. But for the most part, they was bopping and everything, and we wasn't there. That's why Soul Train was invented. Don Cornelius. That's why a lot of our things get invented, because we're not embraced in the mainstream of the network. So it forces us to create our own. And so we created Soul Train.
Let me tell you something about Soul Train that you don't know. Don Cornelius was a friend of mine. Later in his years, he and I became friends. He literally paid his own money to get that show on TV. And then he went out and sold advertising to make that show happen. That's literally what Don Cornelius did.
Wow.
That came out of his money. And
you just told me
something
I didn't know, but it doesn't surprise me.
I would tell you something that you didn't know. He said, I paid to get on TV.
See, this is what the young people need to know. This is that's realism. Mm-hmm. That's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what it takes. Somebody mm-hmm. with heart like that to just do it himself, and look what it turned
mm-hmm.
into.
Wow,
he put his own money. And you know, I hosted one episode of Soul Train.
Wow.
I hosted the episode, I think, when Maxwell came on the show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was a while back. But, yeah, I hosted one episode of Soul Train. I got to meet Don Cornelius, and he was so nice
we
to me.
We would have dinner together. He and I had dinner together in Beverly Hills many times, many times. And we would just
growing
talk
up
about
watching Soul Train, you know, wanting to mm-hmm. be on there dancing on Soul Train, and then to finally be on one Soul Train episode, and Don Cornelius just letting me know. He knew who I was from Eleanor on Rock, and he loved the show. Man, that was a
mm-hmm.
high point for me in my life.
Wow.
And
that had to be a really cool
experience.
And
I think in the entertainment world, there needs to be more entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Like what Don King did.
Exactly.
In order to bring things together. Until you can establish your own self. But that's how he did it, because nobody wanted Soul Train. Can you imagine, as iconic as that show was, nobody wanted it.
Wow.
Nobody.
That's,
and he said, well,
that's incredible.
I want to get it on TV. He said, well, they told him, well, you have to pay. If you pay it, we'll put it on TV. So he literally, where he was at KTLA Channel 5 at the thing over there, He rented that studio himself. That wasn't given to him as part of a deal. And he bought his own time.
See.
And then he sold his own commercials.
See.
And he made it work. And then all of a sudden it caught on across the country. But he did.
And now it's the living legend definition of dance, a culture
of dance.
In this country.
Yes,
everybody knows Soul Train. Everybody loves Soul Train.
Everybody.
White, black, Chinese,
everybody.
It don't matter. Latina, everybody loves Soul Train. Everybody knows Soul Train.
Yes, they do. I want to thank you for joining us here today on Changing the Conversation. And Ella Joyce, go to her website, ellajoyce.com. She's awesome. Visit her dance studio, Funkasize. You can go to ellajoyce.com and get more information. And I want to thank all of our listeners for listening on today's show. I want to thank the Sharifa for being such a lovely co-host, so beautiful, so awesome, so magnanimous. And we are making it happen. I want to tell everyone, become a stockholder in Punch TV Studios. We are changing the world, literally. There are very few African-American-owned companies on Wall Street. Actually, there's actually 5 African-American companies on Wall Street. And I own 2 of them. So that tells you how rare
what we're doing is, and this is the first IPO targeted towards the urban community to give us an opportunity to be part of an IPO before the stock begins trading, which is typically how most wealth, a lot of wealth in on Wall Street is created. So visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com. That's P-U-N-C-H, TVstudios.com. If you want to have join the most awesome social media site there is on the planet, you want to join Nabuki, N-A-B-U-K-I-E.com. That's Nabuki. If you're an actor, model, or you want to be in the business, you want to get discovered, you want to follow us on Punch TV Studios, join Nabuki. And I want to thank you for listening in, and we'll see you tomorrow morning on the same Punch TV time at the same Punch TV channel right here on the Punch TV Studios Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios. Join us 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. Visit our website at
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit Nabuki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.